Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, the Masters Preview Edition, episode 35. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So quite a game last night in college basketball, the championship, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought Virginia was going to run away with it there for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And then Texas Tech came on a furious comeback led by those two bench guys, Edwards and Francis, I think their names are.
That's right.
Without those two performances last night, I think they would have blown Texas Tech out.
Yeah, it was one of those things. I think they had 28 points off the bench or something at that one stage, especially early in the second half. I mean, nobody could score for Texas Tech with those two guys. And I don't know, Virginia, I mean, in my analysis, when I was looking at the game, I just like their offense. It's more varied than Texas Tech in general, and it showed. But the only problem with Virginia is they let people hang around. They hold the ball to last 7-6 seconds on the shot clock. And if they don't make the shots when they were up by as much as 10 and then 6 and then 8, it let Texas Tech make a little run with the last 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game, and they had the game.
Yeah, Texas Tech really is probably kicking themselves this morning because when they're up 3 with 20 seconds left, I thought it was over. Mm-hmm. And how about that play by Ty Jerome going to the basket, and he had eyes on Hunter in the corner the whole time.
That's right.
That seemed to be his spot. DeAndre Hunter was hot in the second half last night, finished with 27 points, 9 rebounds. And you got to say that between Jerome and Hunter and Kyle Guy, mm-hmm. those three guys really led them to the championship.
They dominated. Hunter dominated Culver in the head-to-head, and it was one of those things that I kind of thought going in that Culver was going to be the better pro, the better player. He went 5-for-22 from the field.
Yeah. Wow.
And actually, Hunter started 0-for-7 in the game. He finished with 22 points in the second half in overtime. He just looked, he was dialed in that second half, and he was just so great. Hit that clutch jumper, and then
two clutch jumpers. He hit another one before that earlier on in the final minutes.
And Guy is just ice, dude. That guy at the foul line is amazing, and he hit a lot of open jumpers. You know, he had that for the first four games of the tournament. He wasn't playing very well. And then that second half against Purdue, he got hot, and he found it again. I guess his first 3.5 games.
Yeah.
And then he's the man. Those three guys are just fun to watch. They play well together. And, you know, Hunter will probably declare to be a pro, but those Jerome and Guy might stick around.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will. I mean, and what can you say? An LC kid, we all have the clutch gene. So.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, just we wanted to go over a little bit about the tournament and recap. I mean, not a ton of stats. When I was looking at tracking all these different favorites and underdogs and totals for both the first half and the games, nothing really stands out for me. But I did note that in this tournament in particular, we had 18 outright upsets, you know, where the underdog basically won the game. And maybe that's what you need to focus on. And you really did that with Texas Tech, where if they're a team you really like and they're getting the points, I mean, do the money line bet. You can mm-hmm. win some money in this tournament because there's always going to be upsets. And usually it's a team like Texas Tech or Auburn that kind of runs the table or gets deeper than everybody thinks. And the books don't adjust to it because of the kind of homer mentality with those bigger teams that are favored.
Yeah, I think there's something to be learned from that in all sports. When you're looking at games that are projected to be somewhat close, there's always value in taking the underdog on the money line, because if you're getting 130, 140, 150 range, mm-hmm. then you don't even have to come close to hitting 50% in order to make money on those bets. You could lose 2 or 3 out of 5 mm-hmm. and still be profitable. Whereas if you're laying -110 in every game, it's more difficult to do in the long run.
That's right. And then even though statistically all of the games that I charted, first half total, more of them more often went over, you dominated on your under picks.
Yeah. This calendar year, I went back and checked my action. The first half under specifically, which was kind of my bread and butter over mm-hmm. the long haul, I went 58% on my bets this year, and to the tune of 90 units. You know, at some point during the season, I was starting to up those wagers a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big key for me this year. And I really made out in some of the March Madness pools and brackets and tournaments and that sort of thing. And logged into my account today and found out that I had won a March Madness Sweet 16 pool at BetOnline. So big time March for me.
This guy's making it rain.
How about you?
I did well. I did win. I didn't win my pool. I finished, I think, 24th. The guy who won just shattered the record because, you know, there were only about 13 or 14 of us that picked Virginia to win. And then in the Foreshadows pool, you know, where we did the live events, I ended up getting the title there. So that was exciting and just missed out on that player pool, the action player pool where, I mean, Cola had four guys going up against my two kind of second tier guys and he really smoked me. He won by 13. I was winning by 25 going in and he just crushed me.
Yeah, he had the combination of Guy, Culver, Moretti. And Owens, which didn't score too many, but they pretty much took your team to task last night.
But hey, I still got a little money out of it. I was profitable there. And even, you know, despite my, I wasn't up 90 units, I'll tell you that, in my betting for college basketball this year. But it definitely helps to win a pool at the end to kind of recover any of those losses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also won some money on Virginia, was able to successfully hedge away from my Texas Tech futures ticket. So some profits there. And it goes to show you that you, when you're betting these long shots to win championships in the futures market, they don't actually have to win the championship for you to turn a profit on them.
That's right.
You can take hedge opportunities on the other side to come back and actually lock in some profit there.
Right. I did hedge last night, the Virginia, since I knew the pool and the one pool, if I would have won it, I would have won some money. Not to that much extent, more the entry fee amount, but I did the same kind of thing. And I think the other thing that, you know, we've been harping it all year, if you're listening to us, I mean, KenPom's got the information for you. Action has adapted his own way to look at it, and I kind of dig into the numbers as well. But the bottom line is this data is gold. I mean, UVA was the best team all year, and they won. And Texas Tech, in the end, finished top five or something, and really it was their numbers on offense. They were the number one defense all year. But their numbers on offense went from 100th to, I think they finished probably 25th or something in efficiency. So that information is there for you. It's, you know, it's use it. Don't just pick with your, I like the color blue. You know, win a pool by doing it the right way.
The only limitation that KenPom has is the injuries and players that are missing. We talked about it earlier. And that's one thing that I'm going to try and build over the summer and see if I can refine my numbers a little bit and see if I can get some more at more accuracy by pulling those data points out.
Great. Well, as we wrap up the college basketball season, we'll kind of talk a little bit about our schedule going forward. We're going to cover the Masters today, very light touch on the NHL playoffs and the NBA kind of strategy for playoffs. And then what we'll do is we'll plan on doing a Kentucky Derby segment, pre-Kentucky Derby in the early May, and then we'll come back around for the NBA Finals. We'll bet some on, or do a podcast on the NBA Finals. So I know you guys are loyal fans. You love us. We love you too, but we're going to take a little bit more time between segments here as we're not going to be talking about baseball every day and, you know, NHL overs and unders, you know, first period overs and unders. So
I think both of us could agree that NFL, college football, and college basketball are our three major sports in terms of wagering. I know you're just getting into it, but for me, over the years, those are my three major sports. So I'm going to get into the NBA playoffs and the NHL a little bit too, much less on the podcasting side. We'll probably post some plays on Twitter still. And then we'll get into a little bit of baseball, but we're going to take some time off in terms of podcasting and refocus and then come back hard at you early summer, probably with some NFL preparation.
Yeah, we'll do a lot of summer previews. I'll still be writing on wegspool.com. You can follow my content. It's more sports specifically. I usually put some lines in there and put some picks, but not necessarily you know, like Action does against the numbers. But you know, you can still follow us, of course, on plus on Twitter. So, well, let's jump into the Masters. You know, golf is an interesting sport. We kind of touched on it a little bit with Cole. I guess it was offline when we talked to him a couple weeks ago. And it's something that you can do in a variety of ways. I have played DraftKings, you know, their contests, which is a kind of a daily contest for the tournament that you can do. But what other ways can you bet on, you know, on the Masters specifically, Action?
Well, I mean, there's always the standard futures bet. So you could log in to your site of choice and take long shots, some of them upwards of 5,000 to 1 in the case of Olathabal. And then, but those are in reality just darts. it's very hard to hedge against them in many cases on Sunday. If you have a long shot that's going to win, if you're going to properly hedge, you might have to come back and bet four or five other golfers because of what can happen during that round on Sunday. Now, there may be some live opportunities to do that more focused later in the day, but it is a little bit more difficult when you're talking about golf futures.
I can imagine. You know, the thing is, you're picking one player against the field. Maybe they have that prop. Maybe they have something you can fade, you know, a particular player against the field, but it's only going to be the favorites. So, you know, we'll talk in a minute. I kind of try to dig into some numbers to try to figure out. I've done the daily contest before, and I've done okay. I've usually won some money, but it is hard to figure out who's going to win. The Masters is a really challenging course, and of course, it's not necessarily the long hitters that win, so it's hard to determine who's going to make it happen. The other thing that we talked about is you can bet kind of on a head-to-head matchup, which is kind of unique. You know, we looked at BetOnline numbers. They basically pit a couple different players against each other, and those guys can, you know, maybe it's minus, let's look at one. We've got, you know, Paul Casey and Brooks Koepka. Those guys are even money. It's minus 110 on each. Who's going to finish better in the tournament overall? But then there's other ones they've pitted against where there's going to be some value to it if you think they're going to edge them out. That's one way to do it.
And that's really the way that the pros get down when you're talking about betting golf, is they really focus in on these matchups. And you can see these numbers move quite a bit from the time they open up the week before all the way up until the tournament starts on Thursday morning. So there, some of the good value may be lost in some of these if you're looking at them now, but you could still find some good picks in there. Specifically, it's a good way to fade golfers too. If you think somebody's going to perform poorly, Phil Mickelson, for example, I think is going to have a rough week. So I may be looking to play against him in some matchups. The same could be said for Tiger Woods as well.
Right, exactly. It's hard to see Tiger Woods to me winning another title, but you know, it depends on who they're pitting him up against, but we'll check that out. And then the other way you can do it is kind of a player prop method, which is, you know, you see that in a lot of sports where they, you know, may have whatever, do they make the cut, or, you know, numbers of birdies or something like that. Do they finish in the top 15 or whatever it is? Those are other ways that you could probably bet maybe a little bit more, I don't know, economically, I guess, because if you're going to put it all in on one golfer, you can win a lot of money, but, you know, you only have one outcome. So that's probably one way to approach it too.
Yeah, and then there's also the Daily Fantasy, which you mentioned, but more specifically the Draft.com app too, which I know Cola mentioned to us. He does a lot of with golf. He and his wife have been performing very well this year. And that is similar to where you would draft in a snake draft and in a football fantasy perspect, but only it's golfers. So you could go in if you have a few handful of golfers that you'd like to target and go in and you draft a team of golfers and they pay out based on how your team performs throughout that week.
Right. And those are typically like salary cap based, similar to, you know, a fantasy football contest. So, or if it's a draft when you're actually drafting against other people, that's kind of interesting. And then you have a big pool, a buddy of yours does. It sounds really interesting. I'm going to see if I can get into it. How does that one work specifically?
So this particular pool, and I'm sure there are hundreds of master pools out there, but he breaks the field down into five different categories.
Okay.
And the idea is that you would choose one golfer from each of the five categories. And the top four are just groups of five. So the, essentially the top 20 golfers are broken down into four groups. And you pick one from each. And then you pick a fifth player that is way further down in the rankings. And you score based on how your entire team does throughout Masters Week. And you actually drop the lowest score, and your top four scoring golfers will be in your leaderboard per se. And then you get an aggregate score based on that.
Can everybody, could theoretically you and I could have the same team?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, there could be entrants that have selected the same five golfers. It's probably unlikely just based on how large the pool is for the last 50 or so that are at the bottom. But that is potential for sure.
Gotcha. Well, there's always ways to bet on sports and keep you interested. I really love the Masters. It's obviously historic, but I think because of the drama that happens, especially on Sunday, just the leaderboard changes so much. It just makes for some great excitement. And I know that they did this on purpose, but it's kind of takes us off the high of college basketball into something that's interesting. I think if it was 3 weeks later, then maybe I would be a little less interested. I mean, I do watch a lot of the golf majors, but I think in general, it's just kind of one of those things like, it's kind of crack. You got to get that next hit. And it's the Masters for us. But it's really a big weekend overall because you've got, you know, the NHL NBA starting playoffs too, and some Champions League action. So it's a great sports weekend.
That's right. Juventus tomorrow. Big Champions League matchup against Ajax.
That's right. I'm on the edge of my seat. So what about the futures? If we'll review some of these numbers. Rory McIlroy is the odds-on favorite at this time. He's 7-1. Dustin Johnson, 10-1. Justin Rose, 12-1. Tiger Woods at 14-1. Again, I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Justin Thomas, 16-1. Ricky Fowler, 16-1. Spieth at 16-1. John Rahm, 16-1. Tons of guys here. If we go kind of got further down, you've got Hideki Matsuyama at 35-1. Tony Finau at 35-1. Mickelson at 40-1. So which of the guys, looks like you got a couple highlighted here.
Yeah, there's a couple that I've heard circling throughout some of the media I've been following and reading over the last week. And I'll start out by saying that usually, in fact, I think it's been the last several Masters in a row, no player has won with shorter odds than 10-1 or 12-1. So
right.
There's probably very little value with picking any of these guys at the top of the board because they're such big names. Their odds get slashed because the bookies know that everyone's going to be betting on them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason to offer higher odds if they know that people will bet them at lower. A couple of guys that I'm probably going to sprinkle some pocket change are Ricky Fowler at 16-1. He's been playing really well this year. He already won a tournament in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, if you recall, he finished second. So
he
does have some success at this golf course. And another player that I've looked at in kind of the medium tier is Hideki Matsuyama. Mm-hmm. He's at 35-1. I'm probably going to be putting a little bit of money on him as well.
Nice. Well, you know, I love Ricky. Ricky's one of my guys. I love him. He has never won a big one. So maybe he cracks through. I think the guys that I like, one of the things about the Masters, if you haven't watched a lot of golf, is that it's not really a driver's course. It's a shot maker's course who can hit the greens from different angles. And then it's a putter's course. You've got to be able to putt well. So I kind of put together some information in terms of putting ranks and greens and regulation, plus blending in how often these guys have made or missed the cut this year. And, you know, the value here to me, it's kind of unique to say this, but the value to me, and I saw it on Bet Online, was actually 20-1, not 16-1 for Jordan Spieth. Spieth isn't playing well. We talked about that. He's missed three cuts this year, which is really uncharacteristic for him. But this guy owns this course. He just has the knack and basically the stones to make shots. And mm-hmm. He's a cold-blooded putter. I'm going to put some money on him, at least, you know, one unit or something. Further down the road, I actually really like a guy in the long shot category is Charlie Hoffman. He's one of these guys that is always hanging around. At least he'll be at the top of the leaderboard for almost all the majors. He's not a fantastic player, and I see that he's only made half his cuts this year. But at 80-1, I'll take a shot on this guy because I think he's got a chance to be in the mix. Some of the things I've read, though, guys to fade, and I was interested in doing it before I read this article, is Tony Finau. Mm-hmm. If you remember last year, you know, he had that dislocated ankle in the par three and played amazing. He finished 10th last year, but I understand he's not playing too well, and it looks like he's like 125th in greens and regs, so maybe as a guy to fade. I don't know. Besides that, those are the two guys I'm mainly focused on. In the fade category, I'll fade Woods depending on who he's paired up against. And I will fade Brooks Koepka, who he's actually kind of down the board here. He's 25-1. Is that what you got?
Yep, 25 here as well.
He's a great golfer, but it's not really set up for his game. He's a big driver. He can pound it like, you know, in the U.S. Open and PGA events. But I think the Masters isn't really befitting to his stuff. Oh, I forgot one more guy. If I'm going to go with a younger unknown guy, who finished 17th last year in his first Masters, and that's Tommy Fleetwood. This guy isn't great at putting, but he is a bit of a shot maker, and maybe he's another guy I'll target in the 25-1 range.
Yeah, another couple of fade names that I've been hearing floating around this week is Mickelson,
mm-hmm.
obviously very overvalued historically because of the success he's had on this course. And another guy, which I've been hearing a lot in the fade category, especially when you're talking matchups, is Danny Willett.
Okay.
I think that he's been overvalued by a lot of the odds makers this week as well.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously won one back in the day, so maybe that's why he's a little higher than he should be. Okay, well, that makes sense. So you think you're going to do just those, besides you're doing this Thorbjørn Olesen at 250?
Oh, yeah, my super long shot is Thorbjørn Olesen. I just heard somebody throw him out this week, so I'm going to put a couple of dollars on him.
250 to 1, man. I mean, if it comes through. So, I mean, for me, I'm probably going to do – I'm going to look at some of those matchup plays mm-hmm. just to see. Maybe I'll change it up and only do a couple, you know, a couple futures and then do a matchups on the fades. What do you think you'll be doing this weekend?
I'm going to put in a couple of those bets on the futures, and I'm definitely going to look at some matchups here too once I have a little bit more time to look at some of them. But one I have bet already is just aforementioned fading Danny Willett against Charles Howell.
Okay.
Howell's -180, so it is kind of a big price to lay, but mm-hmm. I think there's good value there even at that number.
Okay. Good to know. And obviously you'll be doing some pools too, so you have other exposure mm-hmm. to the Masters. So should be a great event. Always awesome. And, you know, I was listening this morning to Sirius has a PGA station, and this is the big, you know, they have the dinner, the champions dinner.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, Patrick Reed gets to pick the menu and he's the host, and it's kind of goofball, these golf traditions.
Yeah, I'll say.
I will.
Not something that I'm a part of.
I will say that your cousin already sent me that he's all in on Ricky Fowler this year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so just keep that in mind, because, you know, he did win the shirt in my pool.
Yeah, maybe he can win some of that money back from March.
That's right. Okay, well, let's transition into the NHL playoffs. We just want to talk about a couple spots that action is targeting. Obviously, the pairings are set for the first playoff series. The first one, you're looking at the Golden Knights against the Sharks, and it looks like the Golden Knights are -117. This is just to win the series?
Yep, a couple of series prices that I'm going to be playing this week before they get started on either Wednesday or Thursday mm-hmm. is Las Vegas at -117 over the Sharks. The Sharks are the short favorite here because they have home ice, but I think that the wrong team is favored in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas has been playing a lot better lately once they made the big trade for, I don't know his name, but I'm going to be betting Las Vegas to win this matchup.
Okay, I did hear that on VSiN too. Obviously, the Knights went really deep. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, they're probably primed to do another run. The Sharks really haven't done a lot in the playoffs in general, so I like that. The other one you have highlighted is the Maple Leaf series against the Bruins. You know, Boston's playing great. You're looking at the Bruins. They are the favorite in this one, -141. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, Boston has the home advantage in this series. And I think that this price is just a little bit deflated because of the star power that Toronto has. So I like Boston to get out of this series, and I think that only laying -141 is a pretty good value.
Okay. Sounds good. I mean, you can obviously do game by game if you'd like. You got to stay on top of those series, but we're just talking about the series overall. Any other comments?
I mean, the other thing I was just going to touch on is I'm going to be incredibly interested to see what the first period totals look like once the playoffs start, because we've been talking about these teams that are hot in the first period, but playoff hockey tends to be a lot tighter and more hard-hitting and lower scoring games. So I'm interested to see what those VIG values are going to be like when the playoffs really start in earnest.
Yeah, you might get a better value than you were in the regular season, and you never know. Maybe it'll flip. Maybe somebody will put some money, like the plus money on the under. You know, it's the way it's been on certain teams, like the Lightning or something like that.
And the game totals tend to be a lot less, too. You see five and a half pretty predominantly, whereas during the regular season, there's sixes and sevens that are floating out there.
That's right. Anytime the Blackhawks are playing.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, last segment, it's a short one, is about NBA playoffs. I mean, we're not looking at specific matchups right now. I will do some write-ups in Weg's pool about the matchups coming up pretty soon, but you kind of have a theory that you followed in the past that you found successful. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I actually don't follow it per se, but one thing that you may hear around the gambling media is the theory of the zigzag method when it comes to NBA playoffs, and that is betting against the loser of the previous game to cover the spread in the second game.
Okay. So betting with them against the spread.
Essentially, the theory is that the team that loses game one is going to get up for the second game or the third game or fourth game or subsequent game and play better in that following game. So zigzag, meaning that you flip back and forth on the team to bet on.
I gotcha. I mean, I can see it. I think it depends on the matchup. If they're closer in matchup in terms of if they're pretty even teams, I could definitely see that. Got to stay away from teams playing the Warriors or something, because they could just roll teams in, you know, five games. But it is against the spread, so you never know. Maybe that spread gets affected, especially after a first game blowout or something.
Mm-hmm. And actually, it should be said that a lot of the odds makers are shading the lines against the zigzag theory, because it's been so predominant over the years. You can actually find some value going against it sometimes too.
Okay. Got to pick your spots. And, you know, for me, to be perfectly honest, neither of us, I don't know about you, I haven't been watching much NBA. This is when I start watching it. College basketball's over. I'll start watching the NBA for the next, you know, 2 months and really get into the teams. I mean, I know generally what's happening, but I kind of do my analysis on the fly. So I may not be betting in these early series, but maybe in the second, third, and fourth series.
Yeah, I too am getting into it just slowly here, as we are both so focused on March Madness. I don't think we had much time to watch the NBA, but I will probably get into betting it more quickly than you.
I know our guy Matt at Foreshadows is already, he's all in, I'm sure. So,
all right.
Okay, well, this wraps up this episode, the kind of the wrap up of the college season, the Masters edition. We will put out information and let you know when we're going to tape again. Again, I would say the first week in May for Kentucky Derby preview would be likely. I'm not going to promise, but we were really pressuring our buddy Artemis Prime to get on and give us some information about these ponies. But you can follow me personally at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram for more information.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
And follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for following us for the last 6 months or whatever it's been, 7 months. It's been awesome. And so we'll keep up the following and touch base with you from here and there. And if you have any comments or ideas about making the podcast better, we're open to it, too. You know, send a message or tweet us.
Yeah, I think that we've really enjoyed season one of the show here. Not that it's over, but we're definitely going to be slowing down here going into the summer, and then probably take a little break as the summer really grows on us. And then we'll be back better than ever in season two for NFL football and college football, and be ready to increase that bankroll once again.
That's right. Increase the size of your bankroll, like you say in the open.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Enjoy the Masters.
Peace.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.